Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp is here and reporting on the integrators in chief. Emily, who are the integrators in chief in the federal government, and what role do they play right now? Thanks for being on today.
That's the nickname, if you will, that the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen Hamilton have given to chief operating officers across the agencies. And those are usually, but not necessarily, deputy secretaries, but they are the ones that, regardless of their name, whether it's deputy secretary or assistant secretary for management, they are the ones that are responsible for integrating the support services like HR and IT with the missions, like at the Housing and Urban Development Department, ending homelessness, making sure that the technology works to help those who are focused on ending homelessness as opposed to get in the way and have some sort of chronic breakdown in a program. The integrators in chief have that role of making those two sides of any agency work together.
You point out one of the facts from this report that is just reinforced by this, and that is that these leaders, mostly deputy secretaries, as you say, stay an average of 3 years. So they're juggling a lot of things at a very high level, but in many cases doing it for not a tremendously long period of time.
Yeah, it's because most of them are political appointees, and with good reason, because what the partnership in Booz Allen did is that they surveyed about 24 current COOs, many of them deputy secretaries, and there was a mix between mostly political appointees and some who were not. And they say that political appointees have clout. They are connected to the administration, and so they have both real authority and also this sort of perceived authority to get things done. But on the other hand, the panel that these two groups hosted featured an appointed Deputy Secretary Nani Coloretti of HUD and a career COO, who was Robert Lightfoot of NASA. And Lightfoot comes from the engineering world. He says, you know, at NASA, I can't imagine that a political appointee who isn't steeped in this agency could actually make these management decisions, because you have to be able to speak the language. You have to be able to understand the culture. And these management challenges take a really long time to resolve. So there is a bit of a controversy there about who should be the best person to play this key management role.
One of the things that you wrote that jumped out at me is that there's no set definition of what a COO in a federal government agency does. You write that these roles vary from agency to agency.
Yes. And again, that's something that some people say, well, of course, they should. They should vary, not necessarily only from agency to agency, but in a particular agency from a given point of time to the next. And Coloretti was at Treasury in 2009 during the financial crisis. And she said, you know, being a COO there was very different in 2009 than it is today, because the Treasury Department had different challenges that it had to meet. So the role has to be nimble enough to fit the context. But I think what the groups behind this report would like to see is more uniformity across agencies, and something that is consistent from one administration to the next, sort of like a very high level job description from the Office of Management and Budget that sets out certain key items that a chief operating officer must do regardless of which agency they're at, but isn't so prescriptive that it ties their hands and they can't get things done for their particular organization.
Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp is here reporting on the chief operating officer role in the federal government. And that uniformity seems like something potentially valuable to some degree, at least, because you have a quote in here from a former COO saying it was a title with no actual duties. If I were to leave today and a new person came in, there would be a free for all. There would be lots of folks who would forget quickly what we're trying to do, which defeats the whole purpose of a COO, it seems to me.
Yes, and also a management agenda. You know, every president comes in with their own management agenda, but management issues are not like political issues or policy issues that change with the times. I mean, good management is good management. So what the report authors would like to see, again, is some consistency where the Obama administration picks up on what the Bush administration tried to do, and whoever wins, you know, next year will pick up on what the Obama administration has tried to do, so they don't start from scratch. And so there is this perception that there's a lack of continuity when one COO leaves and another one takes its place, even when there is a two-term presidency like we have now, but especially when you go from one administration to another. And they would just like to see some sort of progress, recognizing that these are issues that take a very long time to resolve.
This research that Booz Allen Hamilton and the partnership did together is interesting in, from a number of perspectives, Emily, because to me at least, of what it says about the priorities of the chief operating officers. You report many COOs have said improving their human capital systems was their top priority. That's not necessarily something you'd think of as a top priority for a COO type person. You would think that, of course, of a chief human capital officer. But the fact that that's on the minds of these folks is striking to me.
Yeah, I mean, what they're saying is that these systems that they have in place, and indeed the laws that govern the civil service, are much harder to work with than what they should be. Now, several of these deputy secretaries come from the outside world of corporate management, where things are a lot more nimble than they are with the federal government, which has civil service protections that you wouldn't find elsewhere. But fundamentally, they're saying that this is really hard for them to get around, and they have to find workarounds when it comes to recruiting people, when it comes to particularly giving line managers the skills they need to be effective managers. And if that doesn't happen, then the whole organization is weaker for it. And this level of trust that they need to get the mission done isn't there. So they're saying that the report is saying that really Congress is the one that's going to have to rethink the civil service law. But in the meantime, chief operating officers should look within their agencies at whatever particular policies or procedures pertain to these issues that they might be able to address, and they might be able to resolve themselves without going to the White House or without going to Congress.